We're doing Sefer Maasiyot, and Rav Nissim Gaon has been discussing the fact that you have righteous who suffer in this world, and you have people who are Rishayim, and they seem to have it good. And he's been discussing different philosophical approaches, how we could understand this. And now he's continuing and telling us, and among the righteous, there were some who were very ill physically. As we know, Nachum Ish Gamzu, he was a great sage. He had a lot of Torah, a lot of wisdom, and he also had a lot of suffering. And he chose to live this life. And the truth is, he even asked for this life from his Creator for a sin that he had done. And that's why he asked God, please, I sinned before you, take your toll in this world, so that when I come to the world to come, I'll be clean. And our sages tell us that Nachum Ish Gamzu was blinded in both his eyes, he lost both his arms, both his feet didn't work, and the little bit of body that was left to him was covered with boils. And his bed was laid on vessels filled with water, so that, I guess it was warm water, so that he doesn't get too cold. And one day, he's in his home, and the home starts wobbling. So his students are there, and they want to take him out of the house. They say, looks like it's going to collapse. So Nachum tells them,
wait.
Everyone else go out, take out all the vessels. Don't leave anything in the house, because it's going to collapse. And after we've taken everything out of the house, then take out my bed. So long as I'm in the house isn't going to collapse. And that's what happened. They took everything out. After they took out all his items from the house, they took him out of the house. The second he was out of the house collapsed. So when the students saw this, so they didn't understand. He's such a pious person, he can know that the house isn't going to collapse on him. So how come he's suffering like this? So they said to him, Rabbi, if God likes you so much, and you're such a pious person, and you're so elevated when it comes to Torah and knowledge, how come you're suffering like this? And he said to them, my sons, I asked for all of these afflictions. So the student said, what happened? Why'd you ask for such affliction? Tell us. And he said, one day, I was on my way to the house of the rabbis. And I was traveling with three donkeys, carrying all kinds of food, bread, fruits, sweets. And a man came across me and he said, Master, give me something to eat, I'm hungry. And I told him, give me a second, let me go collect from the donkeys what to give you. And when I got back to him, I found him dead. And I felt so bad. I said, how did I do that? I went to put things together for him, but I should have given him something to eat right away. And I fell on his face, I put my eyes on his eyes, my hands on his hands, my feet on his feet, and I said, my eyes, they didn't have enough compassion over you. My eyes should be blinded. My hands, they weren't swift enough to give you food. They should be cut off. My hands, too, weren't swift enough. They, too, should stop functioning. And I said, my body should be covered with boils. And when Rabbi Akiva saw him, he said, woe that I see you this way. And I said to Rabbi Akiva, praised are you that you've seen me this way, because these are good wages for me, and because I've gone through this, I've acquired the world to come. So Rav Nissim Gaon is expanding on the philosophy that sometimes a person has to be cleansed from something in this world, and even though everything we see about him, Nachum Ish Gamzu, we're about to see, was a big, big, big tzaddik. He was accustomed to having miracles, as we'll see in a second in the following story. But nonetheless, he did something that no one else knew about. His students didn't know. There was some time that he made a mistake, and that mistake, even though it's an understandable mistake, but it cost someone's life. And that mistake caused him to beg Hashem, let me cleanse myself of that mistake in this world. Now, why was he called Nachum Ish Gamzu? Nachum, the man of Gamzu. Because whenever things happened to him that seemed bad, everything he'd say, Gamzu Litova, this too is for good. And he'd look at the ruling of his master, of his creator, and he'd say, it's just, he wouldn't get upset. Now,
Before we continue, people are quick to quote the story. We should say, everything is for good. I want us to stop and notice something. Nachum Ish Gamzu didn't say, oh, it's so good, I'm suffering, thank God, this is sweet. That's not what he said. Nachum Ish Gamzu didn't even say, this is great. Nachum Ish Gamzu said, Gamzu letovah. This too is for good. In Lashon HaKodesh, in the Holy Tongue, the word gam connotes a lower status. This too is good. There's good that's sweet. There's also this which is also good. It's not the same level of good. Nachum would say gam zu letovah. Now that the Ran doesn't say that, I'm saying that. But I think that's what we see, that's an indication from the words he said. The Rebbe from Chabad said, when comes Rosh Hashanah, so we wish one another Shana Tova Umetuka. You should have a good and sweet year. So he explained that the reason we have this custom is because we know that everything God does for us is good. But we also know that not every good is sweet. So we're wishing one another, you should have a good year and a sweet year. It should be not only good, it should be the sweet good. So when Nachum Ish Gamzu had these difficult things, on the one hand, he wasn't upset at his creator. He recognized this was good. But on the other hand, he also recognized this wasn't the sweet good. He said, Gamzu letovah. This too is for good. So, at one point in his lifetime, the rabbis wanted to send a gift to the king. And they needed a representative to take the gift to the king. And they said, there's no one like Nachum. So, whenever it's necessary, he has miracles, and he is a good person to rely on to send the gift.
Was it before he became...
Oh, good question. Let's finish the story, and then we'll see. So, the question was asked, when did this story occur? When he was already without hands and feet and covered with boils, or when he was still whole in his body? So, I don't know of a source that answers that, but... I could tell you that I have reason to think in each direction. The simplest thought is that he was still whole in his body, because you don't usually send a representative to a king that looks as bad as a person covered with boils. That's the simple thought that when I approach the story, I would assume that you also don't send a cripple with a gift. But when we finish the story, we'll see that it could be that there's indications the other way. That this story happened after he was already crippled and with boils. Let's see. So they have this huge sack, and they fill it with silver and gold and precious clothing, and they send Nachum Ish Gamzu to the king to bring the gift. He's traveling, and he stops at an inn. He eats, he drinks, yeah. And he takes the crate, he takes this chest, and he puts it under his head, and he goes to sleep. Now, the people of the village, they figured out a way of opening the chest without his noticing. They filled it with earth, and he's sleeping. And he's sleeping. He is unaware of it. He gets up in the morning and he takes this huge chest, puts it on his donkey, and continues going to the king's courtyard. He comes before the king and he says, "My master, the king, your servants, the Israelites, have sent a gift before you." And the Roman king commands his servants to open the chest. They open it and they see it's filled with earth. So his officers tell him, "You see, the Jews are making fun of you. Look at them. They're disgracing you. They're making fun of you." So the king got upset and he decrees to kill all the Jews. So scribes come in and he tells them, "Start writing out a decree to kill all the Jews that were behind, that collaborated to send this gift. And take this man and execute him." Nachum is being led to the gallows. And Nachum says, Gam zu letova. This too is for good. Now, I want us to pause for a second. Let's imagine a man. This isn't the gift he prepared. This isn't what he brought. Things aren't the way he expected. He doesn't know how things changed. And now he's being led to the gallows. So we think, you know, you could say a lot of things are good, but being led to the gallows doesn't sound so good. And let's remember what the point that Rav Nissim Gaon is making. We're discussing the fact that sometimes things don't look good in this world. And sometimes you see righteous people, like Nachum Ish Gamzu, he didn't do anything bad, and now he seems to be suffering. And the attitude Nachum Ish Gamzu has is, this too is for good. Does Nachum know why it's for good? He doesn't know. Do things make sense to him? No. And that's one of the difficulties of living in this world. Things don't make sense. When we look at things, it's like, wait a second, oh, this isn't what I thought I was getting into. He's being led to the gallows.
But maybe Nachum understands. He says, I don't know the whole story yet. I trust that the storyteller has the best intention for me. And even though I don't know the whole story yet, I'm a part of the story, so I don't know the whole story yet. But I trust that the story is going to come out the way that the storyteller who loves me.
So I think I would take that one step further, but I think we just have to be careful to remember that what we're going to say now isn't Rav Nissim Gaon didn't say. I think 100% I agree with you, but Rav Nissim Gaon didn't say this. Now we're taking too many steps away from the story. But Chazal tell us, the verse says, Pachadu b'tzion chata'im. The sinners in Zion were fearful. So our sages say, when does one experience fear? When he has sin. And I think the thought behind it is, like David was saying, that when a person knows, I did what God wants of me, I'm doing my best, so then, to an extent, he could be at peace. He knows, I did my part, I did my best, and now there's someone pulling the strings up there. I don't know what he has in mind. I don't know. But I know it must be good because I did my part. The only problem is that none of us can say, Miyomal zichiti libi. Who can say, I purified my heart, tahalti mechatati, I'm pure from sin? David HaMelech Shlomo said, who can say that? So how could we say that?
Rabbi, even if we know that, even if we know that we were not righteous, not on the level of Chazal, or Rishani, or maybe the sages of the last of the generation, even if we say we're, okay, we're just maybe just one step above Rashid, even if we say that, we know that through the purifying stages of Gehenna or whatever we have in our life, the din that's going to be given to us, that's a chance for us to suffer and then to hopefully make tshuva, which is good.
Yeah, the only thing is,
that too is the good.
Remember the child who keeps doing things his parents tell him not to do, and then his parents come with a punishment. So he says, I won't do it. And he wishes, what do you have to punish me for? I won't do it. So we're all that child. And we all would rather perfect ourselves or do tshuva without having to go through the difficult stages. So that's where Hashem on one end is ma'aricha. He gives us a long time to fix things. And on the other hand, there is a time when he helps us move forward, so to speak. So Nachum is saying, Gamzo letova, this too is for good. And Elio appears. And Elio takes the form of one of the officers. And he says, my master, the king, if the Jews sent you earth, maybe this is ancient earth. Maybe this is from the earth that Avram had, their patriarch. Avram had earth that when you throw a little bit of earth, it would convert itself to arrows and spears, and it would knock down fortified cities. That was Avram's earth. Avram, that's how he won the four kings. So the king said, you know what? There's a city that we've been having trouble with nearby that's been a fortified city. So take some of this earth,
they threw it at the people of the city, and the earth turned into arrows and all kinds of spears, and right away they overtook the city. So now the king is very happy with this earth that the Jews sent him. And he says, take that chest, fill it with gold and silver and precious stones, give it to Nahum. And that's what they did. They dressed Nahum with royal clothing, and they sent Nahum back home. He comes back to the village where he had rested on his way to the king, and the people of the village see that he's come back with such honor and in peace, and they ask him, why did the king honor you like this? And he says, I had this casket, I showed up before the king, it suddenly became sand, they almost killed me, and suddenly one of the officers said, maybe it's this miraculous sand. They threw it, and the sand turned to spears, and I don't know how any of this happened, Nahum tells them. So the people of the village get together, and after Nahum leaves, they say, wait a second, that was our sand. It must be our sand is this good sand. So they fill sacks with sand, and they come to the king, and they tell him, our master, the king, we've brought you a gift. We have this sand that the Jews sent you. So the king says, okay, let's check it out. They take the sand, they throw it, it doesn't work. So the king takes the people of the village who had robbed Nahum Ishgamzu and executes them. And Nahum goes home in peace, and behind him, God has taken care of his justice. A similar story happened to Rav Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Shimon. He asked God to be afflicted, and he was. And there are all kinds of stories, but Rav Nissen Gaon says, I don't want to go through everyone's story. He says the Chazal tells Rav Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, at night he'd pray to God to remove the afflictions from him, and then in the morning they should come back, and they would. Rabbeinu HaKodesh, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, he had his teeth aching for 6 years, and he had a problem where he couldn't urinate for 7 years, and he was healed. And the reason for it was he was once walking through the marketplace where the butchers and one butcher had a young goat that he wanted to slaughter, and the goat ran and clung to Rebbe Rabbeinu HaKodesh. He was hoping he'd save him from being slaughtered. Rebbe didn't save him. Rebbe grabbed him and gave him over to the butcher and said, slaughter him. That's what he was created for. And in heaven they said, what do you mean? That's the way you treat an animal? You should have more compassion than that. And that's why he got these illnesses. And one time he's been suffering with these illnesses, and he sees the maid cleaning up the house, and he sees a weasel comes out of a hole. And the maid grabs the weasel and wants to kill it. And Rebbe says, don't kill it. David HaMelech said, Rachma v'kol ma'asav. God has compassion over all his creatures. And when Rebbe said that, so in heavens they cured him from his illnesses. Why? Rebbe was on such a level before God that if he said something improper to a goat, so right away he was punished. And when he fixed it, so then he was healed. David HaMelech said, Usvivam nisara me'od. Our sages said this is a reference to tzaddikim. That when it comes to tzaddikim, God looks at them on a difference of a hair width. And the pasuk says, Ashrei hagever asher tiyasrenu uka umitoratcha tlamdeinu. Our sages say that don't understand it tilamdeinu, but tilamdeinu, meaning the Torah teaches us that just like a slave goes free if you knock out a tooth or an eye, so too a person goes free from judgment against him by the sufferings he has in this world. Shlomo HaMelech said, Se'et b'nei rasha lo tov. Our sages said that the tzaddikim, when they suffer and people think, what's going on, why is he suffering? Really for the tzaddik it's good. And that's why in the future he'll be saved. We live in the short term. We see what's happening here, the suffering a person has here. And the philosophy that we've been learning now is that when you see the longer term, so then one can have an easier time understanding that the tzaddikim sometimes have to fix things in this world, and then when they come to the world to come, where they shine like the sun, they're going to have it better.